Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Talks. My name is Peter Wickham, your humble servant, and I'm here in the distinguished company of a gentleman called Mr. Dennis Johnson. And we are here to take you through the next 4 hours on this, the second day of the tedium of lockdown, which has been renamed a pause. So as you pause and as you reflect and you recharge and you rebuild, we are here to keep your company over the next 4 hours, Dennis Johnson and myself. Dennis's number is 434-1790. My WhatsApp, 266-IVOB. I can speak to you directly there. You can also email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Those are the facilities. We hope that we will have an interesting program today. I'm trying to broaden it beyond the reach of COVID. Because I do appreciate that, as was the case during the previous lockdown, you turn to Brass Talks not only for information, but you turn to Brass Talks to keep your company. And we certainly have a lot to talk about today. As has often been the case when I have programs like this, I label it the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's start with the good. Tomorrow is the fifth day of February. And tomorrow is also the 95th birthday of a very special person to me, a lady that goes by the name of Barbara Joan Mitchell. She is my aunt, my dear aunt, the sister of my father. And I am so happy that at 95 years old today, she is able to listen and fully comprehend what is going on the radio. She reads the papers, and she is really in amazing shape for someone who is 95 years old. So, Auntie Joan, from Giancarlo and myself, I want to wish you all the best, many happy returns, and certainly now the oldest member of the Wickham family, the sole surviving child of the late Colonel Wickham, who I believe many of you may have heard about from time to time. And Auntie Joan continues to do her work on this earth, and she persists in very good health. And she is an amazing example to follow, not only for longevity, but for those of us who want to see someone with a positive outlook. Auntie Joan is always that person. So Auntie Joan, all of our love to you tomorrow. Sorry that we can't be there, but certainly I know you are not going to be short on love and good wishes during the course of tomorrow. So that's the good. We could say almost good. We have communications from the COVID unit regarding what happened yesterday on yesterday's call-in program when persons were raising issues of confidentiality on the call-in program. We are told to advise you that all of the interviewers and persons involved in the process sign confidentiality agreements. Interviewers do not take the names of persons that they're interviewing. The addresses are geotagged. So Mary's personal data, and Mary is just a name that we use, is not associated in any way with her name or identification number markers that a person can pick up the interview forms and read and recognize the information and read it back to her. These are somewhat similar to the regulations that we impose regarding interviews that we do of a political nature to assure people that the likelihood of a person getting your information is really quite low. And I do hope that persons will cooperate fully with the students as they move from place to place. In life, often we have to consider what is more and less important. I think what is more important now is that we get a handle on this situation. There are issues of confidentiality and privacy, which I appreciate are sensitive to some people. Certainly they are sensitive to me. I think, however, that what is more important at this stage is that we get a handle on this thing. So those of you who have those concerns, I just ask you to, you know, bear with the situation and understand that it is not a normal type of situation. And as a result, we have to take extraordinary measures. Regarding the bad, we are back to what is close to kite flying season. We've already have received two complaints from persons who live in the Lodge Hill area about kite flying in that area. I also live in that area, and I often complain about the noise from kite flying. But guess what? Some of us have the luxury of going into an air-conditioned bedroom and closing the door and not having to deal with kites. There are others of us, as many who are in the older population, that do not have this luxury and are tormented by these kites day and night. Lady says to me that she called the police and she made a complaint because she had had to put up with this thing for 27 hours prior to her making the call. She felt that she had had enough. Police told her that the only place it's illegal to fly a kite in Barbados is near the airport. Otherwise, a person is free to fly a kite at will. All I can say is that, you know, we have some reasonable people in society, and I'm hoping that we can appeal to people's reasonableness. People flying a kite like that through the night, buzzing in someone's ears, is not pleasant. It's not good. Persons have been taken before the court for it already. I don't know where that policeman got his training, but there is something called a public nuisance. We need to stop it. And I think we need to stop it before it is stopped. I think we need to stop it before someone forces us to come and stop it. No one should have to come and tell you that it is improper to hoist a kite over someone's house and fly it for an extended period of time without buzzing in the person's head. That would probably drive them crazy in due course. People, we need to stop it. People are at home now. They can't go out. They're stuck at home. The last thing they need to have to do is to tolerate this thing. So as I would say again, we need to stop it. We come now to the ugly, and of course, I'm talking about this matter of the video circulating on social media. Yes, I've seen it. Yes, I'm scandalized. No, I'm not surprised. And the reason I'm not surprised is really very simple. Racists, bigots, misogynists, and people of that nature tend to operate in environments where they are safe. So one would notice that you listen to people who comment when Donald Trump was president of the United States. A number of far-right people felt comfortable to come out and say things which otherwise they would have said in private. This gentleman, who is obviously an idiot, has held feelings, deep feelings, about Black people and how he feels about Black people and where he thinks that we came from and so on. And he was clearly comfortable expressing these things privately for a long time. And I'm sure this is not the first time he said something like that. But guess what? He get catch. The fact that he was caught doesn't mean that he has now started to behave in a way that he wasn't behaving before. The fact that he was caught means that we now know how he and others like him behave in the privacy of their own homes. My reaction is really very simple. He has not broken any laws to the best of my knowledge. He can say and hold whatever views he wants to hold, and that's fine. He cannot act on them. That's another matter altogether, but he has the right to free speech and he has the right to hold backward views until the cows come home. That has nothing to do with me. It's between him and his maker. He can deal with that. He, however, does not have the right to drive a vehicle and use a cellular phone. So I am hopeful that the police authorities would have investigated the date and time and the moment that that recording was made, because I can see clearly that someone is driving and using a cellular phone. So I am hopeful that within the next 24, 48 hours or 72 hours, that he is dragged before court and charged the maximum fine for driving and using a cell phone. I ain't concerned with what he was saying, but that he was driving and using a cell phone. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is really about how we see ourselves, how we speak to one another, and the kinds of views that we hold. During the last election, I had the discomfort of listening to a minister of the Crown, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Dennis Lowe, and I gave him the correct title, on a political platform in broad nightlight, in public and on social media, making some very, very nasty remarks and using derogatory tones to refer to gays and lesbians. You know the words that he would have used because you'd have seen the video. Any of you who consult my Facebook page knows the kind of language that he used, because I have posted it several times, because I believe that people need to be reminded. In much the same way that I will also post this video, because I believe that people need to be reminded of the kind of nastiness that goes on in this society. We are outraged at this gentleman's behavior because we think it is highly inappropriate that he used derogatory language with reference to persons who were Black. None of us have any control over the color of our skin, and as a result, he should not have spoken in that way, and we are outraged by it. This gentleman, however, spoke in similar terms of persons who were unfortunate enough or fortunate enough to be born gay and lesbian. He spoke in the way that he spoke, and he has defended his position over and over again and says he has the right to speak in that way because his religion authorizes him to believe that is the case. Now, I don't believe that this gentleman is intelligent enough to draw reference to religion, but certainly if he were, he would talk about a time when religion, the Anglican religion, no less, the Church of England, would have said that reference to Black people in a derogatory manner was consistent with God's intentions. No, we know better. The point I'm making is that anyone can use a justification, whether it be religious or otherwise, to justify their actions regarding misogyny, regarding racism, regarding bigotry. I do think, however, that we are living in a society where all of these kinds of attributes are deemed to be unpleasant and are deemed to speak volumes about the individual at the center of all of it. It tells us a lot about this gentleman that he's willing to speak in such terms and that we've now found out that what we have found out. And I would say the same thing about Dr. Lowe. I learned a lot about Dr. Lowe and I understand the nature of the individual. And I'm appalled that up to now, he still continues to present himself as a candidate and a representative of the Democratic Labour Party, because we seem to think that that's the type of thing that we want to associate with it. So it's easy for me to condemn this gentleman. I believe his name is Mr. Corbyn. I'm happy to condemn him. And I really hope that during the course of today's program, we will hear further condemnation of that type of behavior. And I would say to all of us, you know, that it is a wake-up call regarding the way that people think and feel. We need to get to a place in Barbados where persons no longer feel constrained to say things of that nature and to feel things of that nature. We need to get to the roots of racism in this country, and we need to understand what would drive or possess a person to speak in that way. At the same time, however, I am not condoning it or encouraging it. I'm not saying there's any justification for it. I'm just saying that in all of our thoughts and words and deeds, we need to examine our actions. We need to examine what it says about us, and it needs to examine about it, what it says about the place that we hold in this society. And we need to work on that. So 434-1790, that's the number that you can call. I hope I can have good conversations with you. Dennis is not telling me that we need to go straight to commercials, so we can go straight to the phone line. I believe that there is someone there because I heard him, saw him answering the phone a little while ago. So let's hope that there's someone there to speak to me. Let's say good morning. Good morning and welcome to Dr. Brastatz.
Blessed good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
This is Dr. Arvid Kulture. How are you doing?
Yeah, how are you going, sir?
I'm wonderful. Are you on the island?
No, I'm not on the island.
Well, you're coming through clear. You're coming through clear as ever.
Good. Well, that's it.
Right.
I understand that the agriculturalists are complaining about a peculiar problem. Not too small a market, but too large an order.
You hold on. No, don't get like the yesterday moderator so early, Peter. You was a man that always give me a nice understanding, and we have a nice debate. But before I go, you know, I have to leave a piece of scripture here. Proverbs chapter 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The mouth of a wise man useth knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, overseeing the good, the bad, and the indifferent. That is the word for today. Peter?
Okay. Yes, sir.
I know that you are not a man who dwells on being partisan, because your profession is a political analyst, political scientist, that's whatever you want to call it. And I don't know if you listened to the program yesterday, did you?
No, I didn't, sir. I didn't.
Well, I want you to explain to me what is the role of the city moderator of the day before I go on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who was the moderator yesterday?
Glenn Murray was the moderator.
Right, but no. But when Glenn is back on the air, you can take up this issue with Glenn. Glenn, you know our conventions on this program, right?
Right.
And the reality is, Dennis is waving his finger at me, and I don't want to incur his wrath.
So, I'll be going far. Left that behind.
Mr. Agriculture, I beg you. When Glenn come back on the air,
I
can
it.
Deal with Glenn.
No, I ain't calling.
No, you can deal with Glenn. You can deal with Glenn.
I am not calling. No, listen to me carefully.
You can't use me as a proxy.
No, I will not do that because I have respect for you.
Mr. Agriculture, what's the next step? What's the next issue?
All right. I want to ask you a question, personal question. For the time that the Myanmar administration have been running this country, what would you give them out of 0 to 100? What percentage would you give them, the Myanmar administration?
Mr. Agriculture, we have done assessments and reviews of the Motley administration already for the time that they have been in office. We have done reviews. I've given my views and opinions. And you know that I believe two things. One, I believe that Barbados is being reasonably well run. And I also believe that Barbados is being considerably better run than it was run for the last 10 years.
Right, good.
That is my professional opinion. And you don't need to go down that road again.
All right, go ahead.
Let me get down to the potatoes and the yams and the eggs and the pumpkin.
We have to discuss this.
But you gotta get there fast.
Right, I'll be going quick. We gotta discuss this medical marijuana too. But what I want to say is, I can't understand how I cannot understand how somebody could be so caring and loving and understanding. No matter what you do, Peter, they can got people that pull you down. They can talk bad book you. But what I am saying, you had a government before this government. In good times,
agriculture. Let me talk about growing ganja. Talk about that.
So I can't talk about my prime minister.
You can't get then, Mr. Agriculture. You are not going to get anywhere with that conversation and me today.
No,
right?
But I need to let people.
You love Mia, and I love Mia. Let me left it at that. No, let's talk about the ganja.
But that's where I got respect for you, because you just understand where I coming from, and I know you're going to take me in the right direction.
But let me talk. Let me talk about the ganja.
Come with some solutions and stop dragging down the woman all the time. So she working hard, man. I just see the her and she, and I just hear the her and she. What more do I want she to do in a COVID environment? Peter, you know if they don't have COVID, we'll be flying, huh? Huh? Nobody ain't asked for COVID. I think what you understand is that as a person that understands certain things in the country, that it is
Mr.
hurtful.
Mr. Agriculture, for the umpteenth time, that's a word my mother used to use a lot, the umpteenth time, let me talk about growing something.
All right, hold on.
So have you applied for a license to grow ganja?
Now, the minister came on brass tacks on, I think it was Monday. What is the lady's name who has, but Dr. Christina Hines is her name?
Chantal Maroney?
She moderated the program there, Monday.
Dr. Hines, right.
Hines, right. And the minister called.
Oh, it wasn't Dr. Hines, no.
Who was it? Who was the moderator?
I'm not sure. I can't read Dennis's lips.
Dennis could tell you who was the moderator.
Anyhow, what was the point that you're making? When they had this moderator on, somebody called.
The moderator,
said,
it was a doctor's body the door. So I think she has the same qualification as you for the university, which is political science or something so. Right?
That's probably Chantal Maroney. Dr. Maroney, right.
Okay. But what I am
Dr. Maroney is also a priestess, huh?
Okay. All right.
She has qualifications in politics. She has a PhD in politics, but she's also a minister of religion, I believe.
Okay. Well, I don't know the person personally. I don't speak ill health of nobody. And there was
David Ellis was the moderator on Monday.
No, well, Tuesday. The lady was on Tuesday then. Because you're usually Tuesdays, but she sat on Tuesday. But to make a long story short, though, Peter, the agriculture minister came in, and bear in mind that I have no problem with the agriculture minister, because a lot of foolishness has been done within the 10 years that the former agriculture minister sat there, because he made it abundantly clear he ain't care nothing about the agriculture ministry. He can only draw him money, and he can write to tell you, because he was really studying economics at the time. But to make a long story short, the moderator was asking him about how do you apply for the license for the medicinal marijuana planting, etc. He said, you got to go to the website. What I'm saying as a minister, there are people that are not tech savvy. There are rasters that I've heard people that say, well, I can't understand that they do government and all kind of big people can get these license and all kind of big people come out here and get the land to plant the marijuana and nobody ain't looking in every direction. Those kind of comments, and I know that you hear them, Peter, and I know probably that you
have
videos
with people
complaining about
I know. I saw the video.
But I want you to help me along. I ain't here to crawl nor derail nothing, because at the end of the day, this is my government. And I want to let people understand, or to let the agriculture minister understand, that he has, the onus is on him as the sitting agriculture minister, that when you pass a piece of legislation or you are putting systems in place for something to happen, he has to explain to John Public what is really going on. She even went on further, as you know, because the 90% now of the farmers are being bombarded with the monkeys. Whatever they pull up, tear, rip up. And you know, Peter, for years, I have been talking about that. Nobody listening to agriculture. Nobody want to hear me. Keep off the airways. Do this, do the next, do the third. But regardless of what people are saying, in a sick country, in a pandemic, where food security is concerned, the time has passed. And it has also come that you have to put systems in place. I understand that you get money from this place and the next place, and the human rights will fight you down on certain things. I am not telling nobody to go out there and kill every single monkey, but we spit up in the air and the spit just dropped down in our face, Peter, because government after government went into the House Assembly and said no agriculture land is to come out of agriculture and go into housing or commercial buildings. But we bring dead caterpillars, excavators, all kind of things that rip down a ripper, all the places where the monkey habitat was, and build houses and build commercial buildings. So what do you think the monkeys can do no more, come more inland, Peter?
All right, so Mr. Agriculture, can I respond? Because you've been talking for a while, right? And I just want to say this, right? I don't believe that you or anyone else should delude themselves that the medical marijuana industry is set up for the average person to exploit. If you are not in a position to read and understand and to make an application via a website electronically, my suspicion is that the medical marijuana industry is not for you. It is set up in a way that we understand that only a particular type of person can exploit it. And that is, as I understand it, one of the main concerns of the Rastafarian community. There are two sides to this thing. There is a supply of medicinal marijuana, which the Rastafarians can consume in the process of their worship. That is a facility that's allowed and available. But the kind of industrial quantities that I believe that many of the Rastafarians would like to produce and sell, there is no legal facility for that. As I understand it, there's no facility legally for persons to procure recreational marijuana. Sir, I really wish that that were the case, because I believe that a country where 30% of Barbadians admit to using marijuana recreationally should be a country in which it is considered a legally available drug like rum, and people should be in a position to be able to go and grow it and sell it and buy it. However, that is not the case. As I understand it, this is about a medical industry that's highly regulated, highly sophisticated, and it is not one to which the average ganja grower will have access, and it's as simple as that. So if you want to be critical of government's move and the extent to which it is limited, you will have the opportunity whenever the referendum comes to vote for full decriminalization, and then hopefully people can grow and sell it as they see fit and whatnot. Until such time, we have to operate within the limited constraints that have been available. Do I support the initiative? I would say it has my partial support, but I believe it could have gone further. Do I understand why it hasn't gone further? Yes, I do, because I realize that we live in a society where there's some conservative people that believe that the idea of decriminalizing marijuana and people growing it and selling it liberally would be the end of civilization. Of course, those same people will go and get drunk on rum, but that's another matter altogether. So I just think that we need to tread very cautiously where that issue is concerned. The industry is not set up for the average man. If the average man is looking for a niche, I'm afraid that he will have to continue growing cassava and plantains and yams and edibles and pumpkin and those things. For the time being, that's what he has to continue doing until such time as we are in a position to fully exploit a marijuana industry. All right, sir? Mr. Agriculture, I want to thank you so much for your contribution, and I do hope that we can chat again in the not-too-distant future. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Morning, Peter.
Hey, morning, sir. How are you doing?
My head giddy.
Your head is giddy.
After your conversation, the last part of my head is giddy, but luckily, I noted I wrote my contribution for this morning, so I will get past the giddiness. I have 3 points I want to make, and as far as I'm concerned, they're important ones. Yesterday, I heard a caller call the moderator yesterday, Mr. Glenn Murray. And during that conversation, he said he was blind and he was concerned about recognizing the IDs of those people who become equally reconciled. My suggestion is, can those, and This is for the benefit of the blind. Can those IDs be done in Braille? Not also for those people who become visiting, and also for home care workers and welfare workers who have to go in the field and deal with such people. Isn't that possible? That would make it much easier for those people who are restrained by sight, lack of proper eyesight, or being totally blind. I have also noticed that some business places still have their distance marking at the revised 3-foot limit instead of the original 6-foot, because it is now said that the distance is social distancing should be 6-foot. My advice that the COVID monitoring unit should take note of this, and if they're going to be in cities marking, the 3-foot marking, make sure that they're put at the original 6-foot. I have noticed a lot of business places still exist. Right? And if you have that marking, obviously people are going to utilize it. At no fault of their own. Now, the medical marijuana, me, you see, that might be the label. But what about the content? We have a lot of laws that are abused. Now, I heard Barmari said in an interview, if you have to smoke her to be arrested, and he didn't hesitate in answering, he said, no, you don't have to. You don't even have to have law to be arrested. Right? So, I can predict this, that whenever this thing comes about, we're going to have a serious as bill. We're going to have a very... When you are in government, when you're planning, it's a lot weird, don't be lying. Things start off very good. I heard David Ellis talk about a lot of things that are long, but can't even get it police. And to add this to it, they're going to have more addicts on the road. And those people who are selling it are not going to, you also are using it. Yes, the intentions are good as far as the medical case is concerned. But what about the strain? That is my concern. Right, don't forget that whiskey and La Canta was illegal one time. Don't forget it was legalized. And by legalizing it, we have seen the outcome. Now, in relation to mini-marts being closed, I have a concern. Because there are some mini-marts that are in close proximity to the supermarket. Now, the supermarkets will be closed on Saturdays and Sundays. I think that in such cases, mini-marts should be allowed to open on the Saturday and Sunday. And first example is a Warren, where there's a mini-mart in the that plaza there in Warren by the roundabout. And then you have 1 o'clock plaza, and then you have right here, what used to be Super Center, which now is because on Saturdays and Sundays now, that is a big area you're talking about. And in that case, I personally feel that mini-marts that are in situations like that should be allowed to open on Saturdays and Sundays with the same restrictions that have been posed on the supermarket. That is my feeling. Now, my final point is in response to Roy Raphael's statement about having a terminal place in Warren. I think what he should be concentrating on is to be working hand in hand with the police, transport authority, and licensing authority to have campaigns done about the drivers, the people who transport people on a daily basis are using illegal drugs and drinking alcohol, playing nasty music. I think he should be concentrating on cleaning house. You have people putting people like that at risk every day, and they don't hear these people addressing it. If you are placed in a position of leadership. And don't even think about telling you what's going on about it. Because if you know about it, he don't fit to hold the position that he holds. And that's my contribution to the DDA people.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling. It's good chatting with you. And we will take up these issues again. We're going to take a break and come right back for more of Down the Brass Tacks.